Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Let's start there, let's read there, and let's continue this series of thinking about the way God set up creation and thinking forward as well to the new creation. So Genesis 2, and at the end of the sixth day, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast arrays, is verse 1 of Genesis 2. Then it says, by the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So remember last week we were thinking about work. We were thinking about God saying to us, the first thing that he said for man to do in Genesis 1:26 is rule. Rule over the earth. And we thought about what that meant last week. And it reminded me of something that happened to me just a month ago. I called in to one of my mother's friends in Conanbridge. And it was the first time I'd been at her house. And this lady, her name is Eileen. I've known her for 40 years plus. And Eileen is a very keen gardener. So I'd never actually been at her house in Conanbridge. So she had to give me directions. And that part of Conanbridge is full of new housing. And it's a bit of a rabbit warren. So she was trying to describe her house. And they're all very much the same. They're just nice bungalows with lovely gardens. But she said, my house is the one that's next door to the person whose garden is like a wilderness, she said. That's how I was defined her. It's next door to the garden, it's like a wilderness. And sure enough, when I got there, her garden is immaculate, lovely flower beds and beautiful manicured shrubs and so on. And next door over the wall, there was this lovely bungalow, but just surrounded by a completely untended wild garden. And I could hear in her description her anguish over this thing, that she just was desperate to climb over the wall and sort her neighbor's garden. It was just gone wild. She ached to do what we were thinking about last week, to do what Genesis 2:15 says about the Garden of Eden, that Adam was to work it and he was to take care of it. Now some of you I know from your own gardens will be able to identify with Eileen. I know that you'll feel a desire to make places beautiful. And some of you have beautiful gardens and you enjoy keeping them that way and bestowing work on this time of year when all the things come in to blossom and produce their fruit sometimes, or vegetables if you're growing that kind of garden. You love that. And this desire to rule, this desire to work, this desire to take care of the creation, this desire to make the creation a garden, is something we saw last week that God put right into our hearts from the very beginning. But the thing is, if we work all the time, and we just work every day that there was, we would soon become exhausted. And so God has written into the order of things another provision. So yes, we're to work, but he's also given us rest. We need rest. So I'm going to think about this with five words, beginning with R, to help you remember them. That we're made to rule, we're made to rest, we're made for rhythm and relationship, and finally refreshing. So let's think about this. We are made to rule. Now that's what we were thinking about last week. We saw that rule in verse 26 of chapter 1 implies what verse 15 of chapter 2 says, working and taking care of. It implies work. And we thought about how out of that, as man would spread and as man would seek to work within his environments and be able to make the best of those environments and turn them for the best, That would involve exploration, it would involve industry, it would involve ingenuity, it would involve finding solutions, it would involve developing technologies, it would involve engineering, it would involve science, it would involve craftsmanship, it would come to involve things like trades and so on. There's so much in that provision of man as a working being. What I didn't perhaps emphasize last week was that work is a blessing. It's a blessing from God. We say that because it's a God-like activity. The first worker is God. In these 6 days of creation, God's working. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, God finished the work. So he's been working. And then he rests from, as verse 2 says, the work of creating that he had done. So work isn't a bad thing or God wouldn't do it. Work is a good thing. Work is intended to be a blessing. And undoubtedly, we should aim, if we're employers, to create work for our employees that are a blessing to them, that is a blessing to them. God created very good things, as verse 31 of chapter 1 says. We should seek in our work to do the same. We should seek to have goals that are good and satisfying when we achieve them. There should be a sense of worth in what we're doing, a sense of pleasure in what we're doing, and that's a responsibility for employee errors. But as employees, maybe if we don't find our work that great, we have to try and find ways to make it a blessing. And with a bit of imagination and ingenuity and a right attitude, even the most mundane jobs can be turned into something more positive, where you can actually feel you've achieved something worthwhile. Because work is meant to be a good thing. It's meant to be a blessing. We're made to rule, to work. Enough said about that. Let's think about rest. We're made to rest. Now the word that's used for God resting in verse 2 of chapter 2 means cease, to stop. The word Sabbath literally means rest. It means stopping. So actually, modern Hebrew, the word Sabbath means to go on strike from work. See how words change. So like, it's to cease work, to go on strike, an industrial dispute. But it originally just meant to cease. And it doesn't mean that God's doing nothing now. It just means that he's not working anymore on creation. He is still working on other things. He's still working in his providence for creation, and he's still working in salvation. Thanks be to his glorious name, but he's not working as in creation anymore. And you might say, well, okay, that's fine for God, but what's that got to do with us? Well, from the beginning, God's word makes his activity an example for us. So 6 days of work and 1 day of rest becomes an example for us to copy. And that's why it says in verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. It's for our benefit that he blessed it and made it holy. And when we come to see how this is formalized, which isn't until the times of Moses and much, much later, and when we see how this is formalized in the Ten Commandments, it refers back to creation. So Exodus 20, the fourth commandment, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, it's a ceasing day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And then it says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. So why do we rest? Well, because God rested. Why do we work? Well, God worked. Why do we rest? Well, after God had worked, he rested, and we need to do the same. It's doing what God did. So the whole weekly pattern is following God's example. It's mimicking God. It's being godlike for man to have a day of rest. God had 6 days of work and one of rest. So should we. That's what it's saying. In other words, work is not to be an all-important thing in our lives. We need rest. If God rested, we certainly need to rest. There's a little more to it though as well, because in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Ten Commandments are given again, and they're given in a slightly different form. So it says there, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and in it you shall not do any work. I'll just read the whole thing. Neither you nor your son nor daughter, your male or female servant, your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor your foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, says Deuteronomy 5, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So there's something else, it's saying. Remember you were slaves. You know what it's like just to work and work and work, to have no rest. And you didn't like it. So make sure now that you do rest. And not only that, if you've got servants, don't treat them the way you were treated in Egypt. Make sure they can get their rest as well. We're made to rule, which means work, but we must rest as well. And we're meant to do both. If we're fit to do both, we're meant to do both. Of course, sometimes God in his providence makes it that we can work. If we can, we're meant to, and to rest one day out of the six. Today, of course, we've got a society where there are two extremes very much. There are some people who can't stop working. And there are some people who can't wait to stop. I wonder which of these, anyone here like to say? Are you one of those people who just can't sit down? That's a problem. That's a problem. It's a problem because it makes it difficult for you then to benefit from God's provision of rest. But maybe you're one of these people who just can't get started. And you can't benefit from God's provision of work and be a blessing to others through the work that you do. So, this is how our lives are to be regulated, work and rest. And of course today we have many employers that maybe only ask us to work a 4-day week or a 5-day week. That doesn't mean then we say, well, I've got 3 days, I can do what I like. I think a Christian should think, well, God said I should work 6 days, so if I'm on a 4-day week and I've got 2 extra days to work for things that I choose to do for the benefit of others or for the benefit of God's kingdom, what a privilege to have that extra time. Or if your work shift patterns are such that you've got longer times off, to think, well, I can spend time when I'm off here, not just doing my own thing, but actually God said 6 and 1, so I can give all these days to benefit. I can work for my family, I can work for my neighbour, I can work for the church or whatever, and make sure I take my days of rest as well. The third thing is, God said we're made for rhythm. And there is a rhythm in the week. 6 and 1, or 1 and 6 actually, because that's the way it is these days for us as Christians. It's not like a 10-day week or a 20-day week or just no week at all and just every day is the same. God has actually put this rhythm into creation. We hear a lot these days about the body clock, but God has also given a 7th-day rhythm. So you saw with the children, I said, well, let's work, say, 12 days and then just have a day of rest. That's too long. Or let's only work 1 day and have 6 days of rest. That's too much rest. There is an order in things. And the fact is, to sustain human society, it needs the people who can work to work. And not just 1 day in the week, because that just wouldn't get the work done. We do need to work the 6 day week, and then we can have our day of rest. And there's a rhythm to that. And the cost of ignoring that is heavy in our society. We speak about a 24/7 society today, and the cost to people is obvious if they live like that, where every day is a work day, or even when they're not working, their leisure is like work. They work hard to play as well as to work, and they're constantly taking out of the bank of their their physical and mental and emotional and spiritual reserves by their activity. The cost is heavy. The cost on family is heavy. The cost on health is heavy. On mental health is heavy. So we need to remember that, you know, this Sabbath, this rest, this ceasing day, it's not a shackles. It's a provision. And, you know, we do know that in the Highlands we made it a shackles. And people think of the Sabbath as a religious thing. It's like, it's what you can't do on Sunday. And that was a complete misuse of God's provision. The Sabbath is a provision for weary people. It's a provision for weary souls. It's a provision to bless. So we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't get to Sunday and think, and I know it's not really like that so much now, but we shouldn't get to Sunday and think, oh no, it's Sunday, I can't do anything. But we should get to Sunday and say, oh, I'm so glad it's Sunday, because I need time with my Lord. I need time with his people. I need time with my family. I need time just to be still. I need time to renew my tired body. I need time to get my thoughts together again before I start the rest of the week. And to think of it as a real privilege and a blessing. As Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's a provision to bless. And religious people think of the Sabbath as an obligation. And as a set of rules, they miss the point completely. We're made for that rhythm then. And it's a blessing to live in it if we can. And we should seek to do so. And we should seek to make sure that our society is ordered so that we do so. Fourthly, we're made for relationship. This ruling that God calls us to is a joint exercise. Remember, it's let them rule. It's for the whole of humanity to exercise a responsible stewardship and caring dominion over the world. But if it's a joint exercise, so is rest. Rest is something we do together. It's for relationship. It's not like we rest so that we get away from everyone. We rest so that we can reconnect with the people we haven't had time to connect with during the week. It's so that we can reconnect with God that maybe we've not had good quality time with either because we've been so busy. It's so important that we realize that this day, this ceasing day, is not a day where nothing's happening. Because God rests from his creative work, but he doesn't stop working. He's still connecting. He's still working in salvation. He's still working in people's lives every day. He's a relational God, and we are made to be relational too. Someone has said, the critical moments are not the ones spent building, possessing, and controlling, but the time set apart for quiet reflection, meditation, and worship. Things that we do with God, with our family, with our community. So Sabbath is a day to be together. How do you manage your day of rest, your Sabbath? Do you manage it so that it's a day where you're really connecting in relationship with God and with your husband or wife, your children, your parents, your family, your church, with people, and being refreshed in that? And so the final point is this: we are made for refreshing. It's a lovely verse in Exodus 31. It says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. That's what it says. He was refreshed. Exodus 31:17. God was refreshed by his rest. And that's what he intends for us. God blessed. It says in verse 3, he blessed the Sabbath day. Blessing means life. And it says he made it holy, which means it's different. So it's a day of life, and it's a day of differentness. The fact that it's a day of life is something that we particularly emphasize in the Christian church, because after Jesus rose from the dead, the Christian church kind of developed a new practice. They pulled away from the Jewish Sabbath being the last day of the week, and they began to meet the next day, and they called it the Lord's Day, and it was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So it was actually at the beginning of the week. And these days we've kind of forgotten that. Most calendars tend to start Monday. But actually, the Christian calendar starts in the week on Sunday. Because it's the first day. It's the day when Jesus rose from the dead. It's the day of life. It's called the Lord's Day. Revelation 1 verse 10, the Lord's Day. The apostles, this is interesting. The apostles say virtually nothing about how they spend the Lord's Day, though. There's only two mentions of the first day of the week in the New Testament. One is in Acts 20, verse 7, where it says the church met to break bread, to remember the Lord's death. And the other is in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, where it says the church, when they meet, they're to take a collection. A collection to benefit others. And one other thing the apostles say about the Sabbath is this. This is Colossians 2, Paul writes, Colossians 2 verse 16, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Don't let anyone judge you. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ. Paul is saying then, let this sink in. The Sabbath is not a burdensome duty of do's and don'ts. It's a privilege. And don't let anyone judge you by the way you use it, says Paul. You've got to decide as individuals how you can best use it to be rested and refreshed, with particular reference to relationship, with particular reference to your relationship with God and with his people, and with particular reference to things like life and differentness. We can't, though, legislate details, as has sometimes been done in the past. We can't do that, because the apostles didn't do that. They just said, well, the only thing that we see in the New Testament is, don't judge people by how you use the Sabbath, and we do meet to break bread and to take a collection. That's the only details that are, and it's called the Lord's Day. Now, we've been using this to help us think about the future as well. Because if God made a creation that was very good, with this rhythmic week of 6 days of work and one day of rest, what does that mean for when God recreates the world at the end of the age? And we've been thinking about that quite a bit. What does that mean? When God recreates the world, creates in what's called a new heavens and new earth, this earth renewed, what is it going to be like? What are we going to be doing? Last week we thought about how we would be working. And work is something that is a privilege that will continue forever. There'll be things to do. It'll be productive. It'll be satisfying. It'll be worthwhile. It'll be labour that we can get a great deal of blessing out of. Yes. Does that mean then we'll need to rest? Will we still have a day of rest? Revelation 22 verse 5 speaks about us reigning forever and ever. Well, reigning is work. Will we need to rest? Well, I don't know the answer to that, because it doesn't seem to say anything. And I read this morning through Revelation 21 and 22, just seeing if I could pick up anything about this. But the fact that in the first creation, God makes it so that there's a rhythm of work and rest and work and rest may well suggest that it will be like that in the new creation as well. But before we close, let's make sure each one of us is going to be part of that future. God is still resting from his work of creating. The seventh day in chapter 2 doesn't have a day and a night. It's not bounded the way the other 6 days are. It's still going on. God's still in that place. It's a long day. And that may well, just as a little aside, suggest that the other 6 days are not literal. I certainly don't think they are. I think they're just a poetic way of describing and arranging God's creating activity. But God's still resting. Resting from his works. And we want to enter into that rest. We want to share in that satisfaction God has in all that he's done. Not just the rest of creation, but God's rest of salvation. Because salvation is finished too, in Jesus Christ. It is finished. And the New Testament encourages us, particularly the book of Hebrews actually, to enter into God's rest. The rest that is ultimately the rest that says, I don't need to work in order to have my sins forgiven. I don't need to work in order to try and get right with God. Instead, I can trust what God has done in Jesus Christ. I can rest in that. I can stop trying to make salvation happen myself. I can stop trying to find my own way to God. And I can rest in what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. That's what we all need. If we're going to share in that future, to trust in Jesus Christ and in his work, so that we can share in the reward of that work and the rest that that work brings forever and ever in God's presence. So all our futures will be working and resting in the presence of God, in the new creation, endeavours unimaginable and great and glorious that go on and on and on forever in the presence of God. And all because of what Jesus has done and the work that he did for us. So make sure you don't miss that by trying to work it out yourself when Jesus has done the work for you. Amen.